in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for what? The faith of the what? The simple gospel. Not complicated. The simplicity of the gospel that you believe, the gospel that you trusted. And as God adds his people to the church, God now wants us to be part of this wonderful commission and strive together for the gospel's sake. The word strive together is the Greek word synathleto, where we get the English word athletics. He speaks in a military term, in a few verses prior, stand fast in one mind, in one spirit. But now he speaks not only enduring and standing and fighting against the enemy, but now he says, now work as a team. Don't be divided. There's a picture of unity there. The word has to do with agonizing. We are to agonize together for the faith of the gospel, persevering, just as a team, moving forward. Not divided. I mean, you understand the book, especially when you get to chapter number 4. There were two ladies within the church that were having some sort of differences. They had a dispute, and it could have been apparent, or perhaps the church was divided and taking sides. And now Paul begins his letter saying, listen, we ought to be one mind, one spirit. And he says that these two ladies in chapter 4, and we'll look at it later in the year, that they need to be in the same mind in the Lord. You know what he's saying? That we are going to have differences outside of the Lord. We're all going to have our little hobby horses or little quirks and things that maybe irritate others and whatever it is, you know. But when it refers to the scriptures or the Lord, we ought to be in the same mind.
That's right.
Now listen, if we're not unified on the fundamentals of the faith, then forget about it. And this year we ought to say, you know what? I want to strive together for the sake of the gospel. I don't care about my petty differences. Hey, can they be worked out biblically? Praise the Lord, work them out. Because sometimes these, what we seem to be petty, are important. Amen? And those little things that are undone and they're not dealt with can grow into larger things and really destroy the work of God. But when it comes to working them out, we must work them out biblically, and we must make sure that we do not allow them to ruin our relationship with one another. I mean, it will be a very sad thing that we allow things to come in and divide us. You know what the motto of the enemy is? Divide and conquer.
That's right.
Have little cliques here and there and have little groups here and there. And I'm not talking about having relationships that are close and so forth. We understand those things. People are closer in churches to others. You can have those things. But I'm talking about for the sake of the gospel, we join hand in hand. We don't compete. We don't compare our talents. And by the way, they're God-given talents, amen, that God gives to us to use in the body of the of Christ for the fervency of the gospel. When we just major on the little things, by the way, I'm not talking about biblical truth and regarding holiness. They're not little things. They're big things. There's principles and you know, clear principles from the Word of God regarding those things. But when it comes to different convictions and principles and how people learn their standards and how they place them and so forth, you work that out between you and the Lord, but don't let that divide you as a church of God from fulfilling the work of God. Don't let it! Because that's the worst thing that can ever happen. And the enemy's happy. The devil's so happy when he sees division in the church. But God loves it when we're striving together, we're unified for the sake of the gospel and for his sake and for the sake of truth. He absolutely loves it when we're standing together unified. And by the way, can I just say, it does come from the Holy Spirit of God. He writes to the Ephesians and he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. As every single person in this church walks in the Spirit of God, He will lead them to one end, the same end, working together for His sake and for His glory and for the gospel's sake. And that's what we want to do this year and for the many years to come until He comes again. Oh, it's a sad thing what people, churches split or a family split over little things that could be worked out. And people focus on those things and they miss out on the blessings of God and the riches of God, and they're more consumed with themselves. And sometimes it's just wanting the highlight of the preeminence. We need to fight for unity. True unity, spiritual unity. Because there's a carnal disunity, and we understand that, and there's a spiritual disunity where we have to separate because we have no choice. We're put in a hard place. But there's a carnal disunity that we're going to say, I'm not going to let that split a family or a marriage or a church. I'm going to fight. I'm not going to have my way. I want God to have His way. You've got to fight for it. When you hear someone talking blah, blah, blah about something that's so petty and not worth it, you need to say, ah, no, nicely. We need not to talk about that. I'm not saying have not concerns and so forth. By all means, we must be concerned about the things of God and the church of God. And Chloe was concerned about a division taking place in the church of Corinth. And she said to Paul, look, there's a split here. There's man following. This person follows this person. And this person follows this person. And this person follows this person. And he told them, the household of Chloe told me about this division. And it was for the purpose of concern, of keeping the work of God together to do the very thing that God commanded us to do before He ascended. And that is to go out and tell people about Him.
Amen.
The simple gospel. We need to strive together for the faith of the gospel. By the way, as a church, that's where it begins. And we build upon that. But that's where it begins and that's where it ends. If it weren't for the gospel, see you later, every single one of us. It's the gospel that started it all. I want to close with this illustration. Just recently, it came to my attention that the Eastern Airline Flight 401 was a jet plane that crashed into the Florida Everglades in the 1970s. The captain, along with one of two flight crew members, and two of 10 flight attendants and 97 of 163 passengers died that day. There was a death toll of about 101. What had taken place, the crash occurred as a result of the entire flight crew in the cockpit were focused and preoccupied on one little thing that had taken place in the cockpit. They were getting ready to land and they had switched on the landing gear, and the front landing gear did not light up, that it was completely down. And they can't land without that light being lit and give them that, you know, indication that it's all okay, the landing gear's down. And so they switched it up and down about 10 times, and you can hear it go up and down, up and down. But they wanted to make sure that it was locked in. They weren't going to take any chances, and praise God for those times. But they were so consumed that every single person was focusing on that little problem, on that little light. What they did was a test called the Christmas tree test, where there was a button where you'd light up every single light in the cockpit, and every single light will switch on that's in the cockpit. And that will indicate that every light is working, or perhaps it could be some that are blown. And sure enough, every light was working except the landing gear, the front landing, proving that it was just a blown light bulb. That's all it was. It was down, it was locked in, but they did not want to risk it. They wanted to make sure. So one of the crew went down to have a look and peek. There's a little in a basement down the bottom, and they can see outside. So he went down. The main captain put it into autopilot, and they notified the airport and the towers that they were going to simply do some rounds because they weren't ready to land. It was on autopilot. Got the second in charge to pull the little cover for that light out, and he did. They looked at the bulb and they determined that it was a blown light bulb or perhaps something that was faulty, and they put it back in, but they could not put the cover back in. Two of them, the captain and the second in charge, were struggling with this little piece, trying to fit it back in. And as he was fitting it, his knee knocked the controls, and straight away, it disengages the autopilot. They didn't know that it was flying on its own without autopilot. 2,000 feet up in the air descending, and they did not know. It was pitch black. And it was going down and down and down, and they were still playing with this little light bulb that's worth $12. $12. Something that the second in charge could have just worked out on his own. It didn't need four people in the cockpit to focus on this. The captain could have been focusing on flying the plane, but they were consumed with this one little thing that caused the death of 101 people that day. True story. And it'd be a shame for us, seriously, to be consumed with this minimal stuff. Stuff that probably won't even matter in eternity. And die in the process. Live a wasted life. I want to encourage you for 2017. I'm going to put this on my desk. I am. I've got a little mustard seed that I put on my desk. Reminds me of, that's all God wants me to have, this much faith in a powerful God. And I'm going to put this on my desk so that way if I get offended or my nose gets out of joint, this reminds me to just put it back in and not worry about it and not make a big issue about it. Just little problems. I'm not saying don't focus on fixing some misunderstanding. You know what I'm talking about, amen? You know what I'm talking about. Love covers a what? Multitude of sins. There's some things that don't even have to be mentioned or even focused on. So I'm going to put this on my desk. And it's going to remind me to not focus on these petty things and to overlook some things that perhaps people said, didn't say, or whatever. Did you know that the whole world is not revolved around Charlie? The whole world is not revolved around you. It's all about him. And he wants us to be part of this wonderful, wonderful commission. Striving together as a team, loving people, loving one another, not on the expense of truth, don't get me out of whack, but you know, loving people, loving one another, sacrificing, going out as a team, as a church, reaching people with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? For his glory and for the sake of the gospel. So that's our theme for the year.